It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939. Alabama Pipe and Supply, Competition Head Service, and Ed Seafood Shed. But,
fantabulous. Oh, yeah. Seafood Shed, yeah.
Looks like we already got a caller online. So someone must have been waiting just to get online with us.
There you go.
Hey.
Caller, you with us?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Listen, man, I got a question. It's a little dilemma. A lady friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
She has a 2011 Mercury Milan. It's like a mid-sized Mercury.
Uh-huh.
And she her air conditioner would come on, blow cold for a few seconds, blow hot. And she had took it to a reputable mechanic, and he told her that the air-conditioned climate control modular need to be reprogrammed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she said so he said he couldn't do it to take it to the dealership.
Right.
I know she had some ABS work done about a month ago, but that wouldn't have nothing to do with that being messed up, the air conditioning control module, would it?
I wouldn't think so.
But it probably could have been turned out where it needed to be reprogrammed, maybe?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Now, if it didn't happen right when they did it, then mm-hmm. No, I don't think it would have anything to do with it.
But let me ask you this right here. Don't get the air conditioned climate control module. Let them try to reprogram it first and see what happens.
Well, you know, first off, if the reputable shop that he took it to couldn't do it, I would take that with a grain of salt. Take it to the dealer. Tell them what they've done, and let the dealer look at it, and they can tell you, you know, what's going on. You know, they know that car in and out. You know,
yeah.
let them come up with their own. I mean, it's fine to tell them what you found, mm-hmm. but tell them that, hey, I want to pay your diagnostic. I want you to check it. I want you to tell me what it's going to take to fix it.
Yeah. It's very expensive to get that modulator.
You know, if it's a programming thing, it's not too bad. You know, you're going to be looking probably diagnostic and you know, some time to program. So, you know, you're going to be $200-$300 probably. If you got to buy the module, I don't know how much the module is, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And you got to find one first.
Yeah, and modules are getting hard to find right now.
She said the lady told her they on back order or something.
Right.
Yeah, and that can be a problem. You know, they're all hard to get a hold to right now. So,
but hopefully they could reprogram it. Not, you got to deal with the heat for a while. Huh?
Yeah, that's hard to do in Mobile, Alabama, in the middle of the summer. I promise you.
What's your estimation? I know you might getting a modulator. Well, you don't think it'll be a whole month, do you?
Well, I mean, I've spent longer than that looking for them, and if it's an 11 year old car?
Yeah, 2000. Yeah.
Yeah, so. So uh-huh. it's about
150,000 miles on it, something like that.
You know, the good news is they say it's back ordered. You know, mm-hmm. the bad news would have been if they told you it was discontinued. So
because the lady told us they had been having trouble with that model, with that problem.
Right, and it may very well end up needing to be replaced. But
replace or reprogram. You know,
like I say, I don't even guess anymore what it takes to get a module and some of these parts. You know, with supply issues we've had lately. But
all right. Well, I guess you can't go back to your horse and buggy no more. So I guess
no. And they don't hardly move fast enough for you to get a good breeze to keep you cool anyway.
Yeah, so. They might get colic anyway. So you have to.
Well, I enjoy y'all's show, man, and I kind of hate the girl gonna have to go through this, but you know, I just want to get your opinion, okay?
All right, I appreciate you calling and listening in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
But I hope everybody had a good good Mother's Day weekend, and hope everybody remembered Mother's Day. You know,
right? And hope everybody had a Mother's Day. It'd be a blessing if you had a mother that you could spend time with or take to lunch or go do something for.
Absolutely. And if you didn't remember his Mother's Day, that's probably why she's not talking to you right now.
Uh-huh. So, you know, yeah.
So that'll help you understand what's going on there. But anyway, it's a beautiful weekend. I actually took the boat out, played a little bit on the water.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Had a good time. So, yeah.
Nice. That's what happens when you don't race.
Yeah, believe it or not, we didn't race this weekend. Yeah, we got a race coming up this coming weekend. Yeah. But it's we didn't race this weekend, so I didn't have to work on race cars. You know, didn't tear anything up last
Mama
time.
Mama likes them kind of weekends. Yeah,
yeah. Didn't tear anything up last time we raced. So you know, the cars are actually sitting in the trailer. Yeah, you know, I hadn't even put them in the shop because I needed space to work on the boat.
Boat go first.
Because you can't. Yeah, I mean, you can't take the boat out without working on it. It's the first time of the season, so. You know, this is the first time we got it out this year, so I had to clean it up and get everything going.
Yeah, inboard, outboard, but
outboard. So it's took it down the island, run down the west end, played around a little bit, took the dogs and played in the water for a few hours and
had a big old time.
Yep, had a good time.
You don't look sunburned.
No, yeah, man, I was smart about it.
Okay,
yeah, didn't get too crazy.
You can't wear long johns now on the beach.
No, but you can. You can do sunscreen, so that's okay.
Oh, you can do sunscreen.
You can do sunscreen,
okay.
So that's
okay. Well, I guess you could, you know, you could soak your long johns in sunscreen.
Right.
That might help too, you know.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it was a beautiful weekend out, and I saw an awful lot of boats down there, which just, you know, reminds me of, I hope everybody took care of the boats over the winter and got them, had them.
Yes.
You know, fixed up with stable and the fuel, and you know, were covered up and kept batteries charged and charging over the winter and that.
Do you still have to trickle charge those batteries during the winter like that, or?
Well,
what do you find?
I've actually on ours, I got four batteries on board. The two for the motors, I don't trickle charge. I'll charge them, you know, every so often just to make sure they're still hot. The ones for the trolling motor, I do have a battery maintainer on board that keep plugged up and keep them hot all the time.
Okay.
So, which I probably ought to put a maintainer on the back ones too, but yeah, that's just one of those things.
Yeah, haven't had to though.
Haven't had to. Yeah, it's been fine. Really shouldn't have to have more than one battery on board to do the motor anyway, but we got dual batteries and battery switches and that. And I'm just,
okay.
I'm a firm believer in not getting out on the water. And
there ain't no yellow cabs out there. Ain't no Ubers either.
Right. Yeah. It may break down and I may not get a start, but it's going to spin over.
Yeah. So, there you go.
I'm not going to run out of G's.
I don't like to swim up yet well anyway.
No, you know, and they're all the same battery, so if I have to, I can take them loose and start moving them around.
You could always have your marine radio or your or something there and get in touch with the tow people to tow you in and give them the biggest credit card you got.
Right.
it's going to be a bundle.
If you're not a member, you definitely going to pay dearly, but that's nothing. If you are going to be out on the water, being a member of CETO is not very expensive, and they will come get you, and it'll save you a ton of money when they do. But because trust me, they're proud of their services when they come to get you and you're not a member.
It costs a lot of money to because those boats that they use for towing have got some good sized motors on them.
Yeah,
and when you're towing, they're running out there. They're running pretty fast. So they're burning a lot of fuel, but then when you're coming back, they're really burning the fuel trying to tow you back in, you know?
Right. It just amazes me. I grew up and been around Dauphin Island my whole life, seen some very nice boats down there, but just the size of the fishing boats and the horsepower of the motors they put on them nowadays is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Went down there, checked out my brother's property that he just recently bought and having some work done on the seawall, and his neighbor right there has a big sea cat with four 400 mercuries on the back of it.
Holy cow.
It's just like
that's over $100,000 worth of motors.
Oh, that's well over $100,000 worth of motors. Yeah, but it's a million-dollar boat, probably. Yeah, or close to it.
Mm.
By the time you get the electronics and everything on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
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 It's just crazy what they get for them.
Now, you're talking about burning fuel.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
crank those four suckers up, baby.
Well, they say that bigger motors, they say, well, they get better fuel mileage because you won't have to work them as hard.
Oh, yeah.
But then that's the same guy that, you know, went and bought the big motor so he can go fast. So,
right.
You know,
right.
When you go faster, it don't
race,
use
race
less.
Boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Race boat on water.
Yeah. There you go. But looks like we got another caller, but we're about to have to take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors. We'll get to our caller right after these messages. But anyway, we got 3 or 4 seconds left, though.
Got three or four?
Yeah, yeah.
But when we come back, I want you to bring everybody up to date on our good loss of our good buddy, Mr. Willie Powell.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We'll do that, but we'll be back after these messages.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on
the
assembly line.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Looks like we do have a caller back online with us. Caller, are you with us? Hello, caller, you with us? Yep. Oh, well.
They're not with us.
They're not with us. Anyway, when you call, you just got to wait for us, okay? But Tom mentioned we had we lost a good friend and part of our racing community and racing family, Mr. Willie Paul, last Friday. Father, a good friend and the father of a young man that drove for us in the Presser Brothers car there for a year. Ryan's a great guy. Just wanted to give a shout-out and get everybody to keep Ryan and his family in their prayers. It's definitely a real loss for that family. As Ryan put it, he never made a decision without talking to his dad first, and it's going to be tough for him. So, just want to keep him in his prayers.
Well, they were father and son, but they're also best friends.
Yeah. Well, they had the racing hobby, to keep keep them doing things together. You didn't see that car at the racetrack without Willie and Ryan there with it together. That's gonna be tough, but
you know what?
Yeah,
it's sometimes it's real hard to say what you think about a fella, but I don't have any qualms whatsoever talking about Willie Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the finest guys that I ever met, mm-hmm. and he was a guru when it came to a lot of the racing things that we did over the years, and was around him.
Mm-hmm.
And during the go-kart days when Ryan Paul was there, he had become one of the best engine builders.
Right.
And chassis diagnostic guys. In this part of the country, I know he and Ryan Paul raced all over the southeast and mm-hmm. and everywhere they ran that go-kart.
Oh, they run it everywhere.
Nationals that they ran everywhere, and then they were competitive everywhere they went.
Yeah, they went all over the country with it, with their go-karts, and Willie was one of the premier engine builders
for
the go-karts.
Oh, yeah, bar none,
for many years. Very intelligent. Talked to him at length with some of the things that they used to do.
Yep.
You're talking about a one-cylinder flathead Briggs motor
right.
that you're trying to eke every tenth of a horsepower out of. A motor that's supposed to make 5 horsepower and you're making 15 or
right,
better
yep,
out of it.
Yep,
you know, so
yep. I've seen him on the dyno with that and have like 5 or 6 different exhaust systems that he'd make a change in a timing or in a cam or something of that nature or a different type of carburetor or maybe work on a carburetor and put it on it and He would dyno it until he got it to the peak of its power.
Oh yeah,
and when it went on the track, it was the cat that you had to beat.
Right, Right. Absolutely.
Good guy, though. I don't know anybody that's got a bad word to say about Brother Willie Powell, and I could easily say that he was one of my best friends, and it's it just kind of sucks your guts out to know that, you know, something stupid like that happened to such a good guy. So
yeah.
Well, you know, our thoughts and prayers with Katie and Ryan.
I can honestly say that I can't think of any time that I've had anything, illness or injury or whatever, go on in my life that Willie didn't pick up the phone and check on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Great guy, and he's going to be missed for sure.
But, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Anyway, on a happier Woo! Note, we'll get it and we'll get off that. It's hard anytime you lose somebody like that, and it's going to be he'll be remembered, no doubt.
Oh hell but, yes.
Anyway, the summertime is here. I was looking through our dispatch today, and we weren't extremely busy today. We had some stuff we were trying to get done, some bigger jobs. But I looked in dispatch, and the majority of the open tickets we had in there were about AC problems. Believe it or not.
Well, it's only 90-something degrees.
It's only getting to be 90 degrees, so, that's where we're going to be for several months, there. And we're going to be happy when we only have an 89 or 90-degree day here shortly. So,
with the current temperatures that we're having and then the current types of vehicles that we have, and you guys are working with the latest innovations that General Motors has, do you look for a temperature range on these cars when you're working on air condition, or it's good?
A 30 degree change from what the ambient temperature is usually pretty normal.
So if it's 90 outside, we should be getting 60.
If you get around 60 degree air, you're probably doing pretty good.
Okay.
If you got one that's very efficient, it may get a little better than that, but it's not going to be a lot. But if you got 60 degree air blowing at you, you're usually pretty decent.
Oh yeah.
Just got to keep the fan up and it'll cool it on off. But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah. Good evening, Dr. Kevin, Mr. Claxton. How y'all doing?
Fine. Doing great. Fine. Ray, how are you? Okay.
Oh, fine, thank you. My 1999 GMC Safari, after they changed the fuel pump on it and the fuel filter, I noticed the first time I filled it, I stopped. As soon as the pump stopped on me, I didn't add any more, and it went past full.
Yeah.
And then if I push the gas, the needle stays steady, but if I left my foot off of it and let it just idle or something like that, it looks like it vibrates a little bit. It shakes, the needle on it. Is that normal on this GMCs and Chevy?
Probably. I mean, it's, there's a little bit of a buffer built into that system to where, it shouldn't, the signal coming out of the tank shouldn't make it vibrate. I'm sure it was probably like that before. Just, hadn't looked at it as close as you do after you get something worked on. If it was hooked directly to the gauge, from the sending unit without any kind of buffer there, the gauge would float around so much when you're driving it that you couldn't figure out how much gas you did or didn't have, because that gauge and that float would constantly be moving up and down from the gas moving around in the tank. Okay.
But that's not a manual.
Is normal?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's probably normal.
That's not a manual signal that it's sending up there. That's an electronic signal.
Right.
I just didn't know if it has any kind of adjustment on the float.
No.
Because once I stopped, I didn't overfill it, and it went past the full. I didn't know if it's reading too much gas in the.
Not unusual for it to read over full. Everyone I've ever had actually went past the full mark when you actually got it full. I won't have to call that normal. It's just, they do their best they can with an odd shaped tank and all this kind of stuff, trying to make it accurate as it goes through the movement, but if you got, you know, if full means full and empty is empty and it's close in between, you know, it's about as good as you're going to get because, you know, the sending unit's going to have a sweeping motion through it and it can only move at a steady rate. Whereas the tank, it may be big at the bottom, big at the top. You know, it's hard to, you know, they got to fit that gas tank in a specific area in the vehicle, and they have to work around some things to make that work. So it's not going to be an exact amount anyway, okay?
There's no adjustment or nothing.
Oh, right? No, there's no adjustment there.
No.
No adjustment. I have a quick question about the timing belt.
Okay.
On a V6, Honda Accord 2015 V6.
Uh-huh.
It says 100,000 or 7 years.
Yeah.
I only got 25,000 miles on it.
Right.
What's your opinion on that? It's like $1,600 work, you know?
Right. You know, you could probably stretch it a little bit longer, but I wouldn't get too crazy because, you know, the time limit's there for a reason, yeah. Because, you know, it's just like any piece of rubber, it's dying from the day it's molded, okay?
Right.
And that, you know, I would say I would go over the mileage before I would go over the time, to be honest with you, you know? So I wouldn't push it too long, yeah. I know it's not cheap, but, you know, I may not worry about all the other stuff that would go with it, water pumps and all that kind of stuff that they usually try and sell you, but, yeah, the belt itself probably does need to be changed.
Right. They sell a kit, you know, with the water pump, tensioner, everything together.
Right.
You know, that's the way they do it.
I
just didn't know since this was way far from 100,000 miles. I didn't know if it's,
yeah.
You know,
and what year did you say it was?
As 15. Crucial or not.
15?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, and I understand, but, you know, what you got to remember is, the $1,600 is a lot of money, but it's a lot cheaper than $8,000 or $10,000 is what it would take to fix that motor if or replace that motor if it breaks that belt.
Right.
So
yeah, it is an interference engine, unfortunately.
Oh yeah. So it's not something you want to break if you plan on keeping that car. So
right.
Yeah.
And
or
that's
traded in,
right, and yeah. That's the big fallacy of it, and that's the only fallacy of it that I know of, is that if there's a weak link, that's it.
Right, and the timing belt.
Yeah, but hey, put a timing belt and all on it, and drive it another, you know, 7-8 years.
Yep.
Exactly.
Cheaper than a new one.
Enjoy your show.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Appreciate you. Bye bye.
But yeah, that's and. Sound like it's time for us to take a break again, but before I get into another thought, we'll go ahead and take a break and let you hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back.
Sometimes she runs, sometimes she don't. More than once she's left me on the side of the road. The older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. She needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires. She's riding me around. Wrong with the radio. I've got 60 speakers crossing my back dash. A little bobbing dog watching everybody pass. Dual antennas with me in the wheel. Oh, there ain't a country station that I can't tune in.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, I'll share a little bit here. We went, I went and filled up the other day. I say filled up, almost filled up. Would have been a lot closer if it wouldn't have been caught the way I was. If you go to a gas station, make sure the sign out front's working. Yeah, the price sign.
Oh, really?
I didn't pay it much attention. I know what the gas station across the street was at. I know what this one, you know, what I thought it should have been somewhere close. I knew it was probably going to be a little higher.
Yeah.
I went inside, I prepaid, come out, started pumping, and looked down. And it was about 25 cents a gallon more than the one across the street. So, my fault, didn't look. Yeah,
well,
so,
I saw a station within two blocks of each other, there was 40 cents difference.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, don't buy gas anywhere near it.
Well, what is it, 379 and 419?
Yeah. Well, gas is going in the $3.90 to $4 range right now.
Yeah.
So
a lot of it's like $4.10. So, $4.15, $4.19.
It's going up for sure. But you just gotta be careful. Watch what you're buying and what you're paying for it before you start pumping it. Yeah. So that was my mistake. But I'll share my pains for benefit of our listeners here.
Well, we call that something else.
We're not gonna bring it up though.
Yeah. So anyway, looks like we got a couple callers. We might as well go and get on the phones. Caller, you with us?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I got a question. I had an issue it's been about a year ago, and my issue was that the check engine light was on because it said that we had a NOx O2 sensor, or whatever it's called, that was malfunctioning, and my Toyota Tacoma was running really poorly. It wasn't getting good gas mileage. Well, I happened to have it towed to a repair shop, and I had this looked at by a different mechanic, and they said that it's not getting any electricity to it. So they ran a new wire, and my O2 sensor started working. So I drive off the lot. It was working great for about 2 days. The check engine light comes back on. And now it's saying like a catalytic converter or something like that. And it's running better. It gets better gas mileage, but it's not back to, you know,
right,
380 miles per tank. It's like 325 versus what it was doing before. And so I was wondering, is there like sometimes a like chain of events that happens if you have an electrical problem that could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I mean it's a good possibility, but one thing, I don't know if I had a O2 sensor that had not been working for a while with the motor running, especially to the point to where it quit running, I would not trust that sensor anymore. I would have to replace that sensor.
I'd already bought a new O2 sensor, and the O2 sensor works.
Right.
I put it on the thing. O2 sensor doesn't come up at all. It's another.
Well, I understand that the O2 sensor is working.
Oh, I got
some.
You. And we replaced it with a new O2 sensor. Sorry.
You did put a new one on?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I bought that first because I thought that's what the problem was. You know.
Right. Well,
and that was easy to install and to you know put in. That was nothing.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then it worked for 5 minutes in the car, and then it came back on.
Right.
And the guy was like, "Yeah." So we ran a new wire.
Yeah, you're breaking up on me there a little bit, but one of the things that you have to understand about an O2 sensor is that it's working in millivolts. Its range is from 0 to 1 volt. So minor connection issues can cause serious miscalculations on the fuel. So you have to be very careful when you do go running new wires that you always solder and heat shrink the wires together. Butt connectors and tape is not acceptable. That has to be a very, very, very good connection to read properly. And also, if you had run it to the point to where it quit running, and you're getting a catalytic converter code now, What has probably happened is it's dumped so much fuel through it that it has actually damaged the catalytic converter, and it's not able to perform its job properly.
That'll hurt your mileage too.
Yeah. But the first thing I would do before I went and spent the money on a new converter is I would double-check your wiring connections, make sure that O2 sensor is reading properly. And because if it's not reading properly, you have two O2 sensors. You have your pre-CAT and your post-CAT O2 sensors, one before, one after. So, and they're looking for a difference in voltage. So if that voltage is off on the front one just a little bit, then the second one's not going to make sense because they're having to compare voltages to determine whether the converter is working right or not. So, you know, make sure your primary O2 is doing its job properly before you go spend the money on a converter.
Gotcha, yeah, because they're not cheap.
No. Yeah. The wiring in the O2 is the cheap part. So.
Hoping that maybe it was another electrical issue rather than the other one, you know, like having right. a brand new.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know where your connection problem was, if it was right at the connector or if it was something up the wiring harness. You know, if it was something that had I've seen battery acid and brake fluid or whatever get in the conduit with the wiring and it caused issues with the way the O2 read. If that's the case, all that needs to be cleaned out properly and or the harness replaced to make sure that that is still not a problem, because you have four wires going to your O2, not just one. So, right. You know, it can be on any of those wires, can be, make it bleed over into the sense wire.
Can a difference in an aftermarket O2 sensor and a factory O2 sensor make any difference?
It can. I'm not a big fan of aftermarket O2s. I've used them over the years and with some success. But, you know, I would rather see a factory O2 sensor on it.
And that's what I got, because I put an aftermarket one on there and, of course, didn't get anything
right
better about it. And I heard that they're fragile and that the little bulb could break, and if you get a bad one or something like that.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and took that one back, thinking that I had gotten a bad one, because I had read reviews where they said that they had bad ones. And so I went and got I paid the extra money for the factory one, and that's what's in there is another Toyota Tacoma, you know, another one.
Right.
But it was the catalytic converter thing that makes me a little more iffy because of the price of it. And that's why I was just wondering if you
right. had it. Well, and running bad will damage those converters. That's why if you get like a misfire or something like that, that light starts flashing at you, and you can actually overheat that converter and do damage to it. And just like you can run too rich and put too much, you know, soot and that on the converter, and it just never works properly again. So just got to be careful with them. But I would definitely get, you know, verify your wiring to that primary O2 first.
Oh, cool. I appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
You got it.
All right. We got another caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, good, Kevin. This is Gene. Hey, I got a question.
All right.
I've got an 03 Duramax with 127,000 miles on it. I'm thinking about putting a lift pump on it, and I need your opinion on that.
You know, I'm actually a pretty big fan on the Duramax putting a lift pump on them, because it cures the issues if you get any kind of vacuum leak whatsoever or any kind of restriction that, you know, the motor just dies, okay?
Right.
If you have a lift pump that will actually transfer fuel to the motor and the filter, that eliminates that whole you know, cranking issue after it's been sitting for just a little while, if it has an air leak and that, you know, plus it, if, you get to towing, you know, it ensures a better, fuel flow to the motor, that's not going to be a restriction there. It's going to make sure you're getting a good flow to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. It's got, you know, the only issue with those, the O3s, they had the internal injectors, and they've been replaced.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of want to protect them. I was going to go with the Fast with the dual filters.
Yeah, yeah.
And with 100 PSI and see if that would help it.
Yeah, and it can't hurt, you know. The life of those injectors is keeping clean fuel to them. So if you run the factory filter in their filters, the likelihood of getting any trash to those injectors is cut way down. So, and plus keeping good fuel going to them and a good supply of fuel, they're lubricated properly. So, they definitely tend to live longer like that for sure.
Well, buddy, you answer my questions. I certainly appreciate it. Great show. Love it. Certainly miss working with you, and you guys have a great evening.
Thank you, Gene. I definitely miss you being around. You're always fun to be around. So.
All right, buddy. Y'all have a good evening, sir.
All right,
thank
bud.
You.
Have a good one.
All right, bud.
But one of our ex-co-workers there, he's moved to a different dealership. We won't mention her name because he's a competitor, but that's all right. So.
Okay, that's we'll go
right.
There.
That's all right. He works over at McConnell, but it's we're all doing the same thing. It's there's plenty of business for everybody.
Y'all turning wrenches and fixing cars. Yeah,
we're doing there's plenty around for everybody. I'm
yeah, I saw Dwayne today there. He didn't want to know how to do it. I told him everything I could.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
He said, well, I just wish I was in shape to do something. I'm about wore out.
Yep, I understand that completely. But it's only time for us to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of sponsors and callers, we had a caller online here. Caller, you with us? Hello.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Is Mr. Claxton?
He's with us. This is Kevin.
I'm here, and Kevin Raywinkle's with us too, buddy.
Right. Well, hey, that was Proud Mary, and that was a B25 we were talking about last week. Instead of B17, that's not a B25 because it used to fuel it and everything.
Okay.
There you go.
Out of England Fire Service years ago, out of base fuel.
That is so cool.
He had a brace there with another B25. It's called Little Brown Jug.
Okay, was that one owned by somebody in Mobile too? Was a Little Brown Jug owned by somebody in Mobile?
It was. I can't remember the name of the guy that had it at that time, but Proud Mary and Little Brown Jug is parked right beside each other out there at Basefield on England Fire Service.
Oh,
years. My dad was Air Force pilot for 40 years.
Okay.
And stuff, but so he flew all these antiques. Now I flew with that airplane a couple of times, but
that is so cool.
B-17, I said, when we had one B-17, all it did was blow out oil. We cranked it up.
those old early model Harleys that didn't have gaskets on them. They used the machine fit on them.
Every time a B-17 would pull up on a property with that big old long tail dragger on it, it blew out about. Well, they wouldn't say fill it up and check the oil. They'd say fill up the oil and check the gas.
There you go.
that's about the way a B-25 was.
Yeah.
God, I loved those airplanes. I grew up, my parents owned England Fives for about 42 years out there, basically. We was out there before the terminal was even there.
I'll be there. Oh.
My dad taught all the people how to... All the soldiers and stuff that came back from the wars, on the VFA thing.
Right, GI Bill.
Yeah, to teach them how to fly and stuff. He taught a lot of police and FBI and everything else how to fly.
All right, well, that's cool, baby.
10,000 people how to fly airplanes.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. FAA examiner, even.
Yeah.
He'd give them a ticket after they passed. But anyway, I just thought it was funny when I was sitting there listening to it last weekend. He said, B-17. I said, no, that ain't a B-17.
That's
yep. a B-45 yep. bomber.
Hey, that's one no thing problem. About it. We don't claim to know everything.
No, I know. I just thought I was going to get a chance. I thought it was kind of funny, though. I just I'm putting in on it. But anyway.
That's good.
That's cool, buddy. Hey, y'all have a good evening. I just figured, hey, maybe you can tell me. Hey, it was a B-25.
There you go, brother. Appreciate it. But, you know,
okay,
have a good day.
I'll take care now.
All right. Bye. We're talking about Dewey Miller there. You know, we don't you forget out there, if you need any kind of automotive repair work, cylinder head work, or block work, or things of that nature, be sure to give Dewey a call over there. What is that number? 666-6187?
You had to wait until I put the paper up, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, hell yeah. I did it on purpose, you know. I think it's 666-6187. I must have dialed it a gazillion times.
It is 666-7187.
I missed it.
Ooh. Yep.
7187.
Yep.
Well, that's good. Now they'll remember that.
Now
better.
We get the right one. We'll get
666-7187 competition head service. Dewey Miller.
We already figured out you couldn't keep numbers straight.
Oh, I know that.
17 to 725.
So I know. I know. I got that. You know. And somebody asked me how old I was. I said 240s with a 4 for a kicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. But, so I don't even know. But you know, age ain't nothing but a damn number anyway. So
exactly. But
and I'm not good with numbers. So what the hell.
Yep, but you know, please keep our sponsors in mind when you need some the services. Dewey Miller does competition head service, does great machine work over there. If you have something that you need machined as far as automotive goes, and he can even probably do some of the other stuff too. But you know, go over there and give him a shot at it. Does great work. Been around for 50 years.
Hey, he's so, he does quality yeah. work, and he's got a reasonable work. Price.
Yep. He's been around that long for a reason.
Right, and, yeah. Dewey will treat you right, and that's what we, you know, that's what we're looking for this day and time.
Exactly.
Not a lot of those fellas left around.
Yep. And talking about being around for a long time, UJ Chevrolet's been around since 1939.
Woo,
so,
baby. They've been coming after me, ain't they?
Yeah. They've been around a while, and there again, they've been around that long for a reason. They treat their customers right, treat their employees right. You know, they do their best to err on the customer side if there's something.
Well, you know, they got you out there running the shop, so that tells me up front you're going to get a fair shake. So
yeah, well, we try and treat our customers right. You know, I've always said that you know, you're not going to make a living off of getting someone's money one time.
No.
Yeah. You know, you need to treat them right. Get a little bit at a time. Be fair with them. They'll be fair with you.
Customers, man.
And they'll keep coming back to see you, which right. is what it's all about.
And that, you know, and that's where Panini Pete and all his people are with their group of wrestlers. So we're going to see some new stuff come out of that deal over there pretty soon. I saw a day on Facebook where they're building a house for one of his and challenged employees has been with him about 15 years, and the boy's lost his parents and just needed something done with the facility that he didn't need to be in, that he was living in. So they bulldozed it down today, and now they get ready to build him a new home over there. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yep.
Let's see. I guess before we get out of here, I got one text message here. Hi, this is is synthetic 5W30 oil better than conventional 10W30 oil? And if you use a synthetic, do you have to use synthetic oil filter? There's really no such thing as a synthetic oil filter, but use a good quality oil right. filter. And yes, the synthetic oil is better than your standard oil, your
it
conventional
is.
Oil.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would definitely err towards, and you can't hardly find your conventional oil
right.
anymore anyway.
Yeah. Mineral-based oil.
Mineral-based oil. So, you know, the synthetic oil is definitely the way to go. I would go that way.
Well, you know, we can assure you that the synthetic oil is better than the regular mineral-based oil because that's what all the racers are running, yeah. So
right. We do have a caller online. Let's see if we can get him in before the show ends. Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing today?
Doing great.
I have a 2007 HHR four-cylinder.
Yeah.
And I've been having this problem. where I get in, turn the switch on, get all my instrument cluster lights, everything kicks in, it's digital, and I can't crank it. Now, most of the time it happens after I drive it, you know, the first time, and then the second time it's like, everything. Would that be like a starter, or are we looking at a sensor? I know it's probably going to be a multiple bunch of things there, probability.
Well, and the probability is going to be the multiple things, but the first thing I would have to check is if I'm getting my signal to the starter to crank it. So when it doesn't start, you almost have to get a test light down to the starter and see if you're getting a power signal to the solenoid wire on the starter. If you are getting that, then yeah, the starter's bad. You know, if not, you got to back it up and start tracing back where it comes from, which is going to be your underhood fuse block, and it's got starter relays and those blocks. You know, we have had problems with. So you just kind of have to isolate it down from, you know, is it getting a signal or not? If it is, great, it's a starter. You don't have to go doing a bunch of checking. If it's not getting a signal, that's when you have to get into doing a little diagnosing and, you know, detective work.
What has been that y'all have ever experienced? What's been the most problematic as far as one of them not cranking?
You know, it's kind of a toss up. The starters, you know, we've had some starter problems. So, but I hate to do this, but we're actually run out of time. But I would be real.
Thank you very much. Thank y'all for being there.
All right, thanks for listening. But anyway, I do want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight, and I will be back next week.
And we want to remind you to keep Willie Paul's family in your prayers and help them work through this crisis that we have. And to all of our veterans out there, big hoorah.